This February the 13th, we join UNESCO and thousands of stations in wishing you a beautiful World Radio Day.
This is 2LO, the London station of the British Broadcasting Company calling. 2LO calling.
I refer, of course, to the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which at midnight on Sunday last succeeded the Canadian Radio Broadcasting Commission in the control of national radio as a Canadian public service.
In this year of change and adjustment, UNESCO and your local station are committed to ensuring that radio continues to evolve, to innovate, to connect.
Evolve, innovate, connect. Three enduring imperatives that encapsulate the history of radio across more than 100 years. Three operating drivers that keep radio rising to new challenges today. February 13th is World Radio Day, not one of those bogus favorite food days to drive sales promoted by some self-appointed special day company. No, World Radio Day is part of and celebrated by UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. It's not a rah-rah radio day, as some broadcast workers late to the party seem to want to make it. There's reason to celebrate what radio does for us, that's for sure, but World Radio Day goes deeper than that. This year's themes set by UNESCO are evolution, innovation, and connection. It's 10 years since World Radio Day got started, more than 100 years for radio. We have not really been able to celebrate radio's centenary because of the worldwide gloom of the COVID-19 pandemic. But we can hear and feel evidence of these three themes every time we turn on the radio. I'm Paul Cross. This is Cross Talk, Media History, Commentary, and Analysis, Season 5, Episode 13. A Canadian, Reginald Fessenden, was transmitting his voice and recording the sound received as early as 1900. Marconi's first licensed radio station, using some of Fessenden's patents along with others, started in Montreal in 1919. The Rogers Majestic Company of Toronto created the world's first radio receivers that would run on household electricity in 1927, so listeners no longer needed canister-sized, liquid-filled batteries to operate their radios. By the late 1930s, cars were being equipped with radios, and radio had evolved from a cumbersome, finicky, staticky, yet fascinating listening experience to gather for, to something portable that traveled on the road. The next great evolution is also in the technology. In 1955, the transistor radio hits the market, a battery-powered compact radio with built-in speaker that fits in the palm of your hand. Now you can buy one to carry with you, or get the kit for building one. It also gives you something portable.
What are you listening to? This Remco transistor radio I made myself. Want to listen? A ball game. It's a real radio and it works great.
Here's the world's first and only portable radio in the non-breakable impact case.
I'm not sure whether the manufacturing companies behind those ads could have anticipated what would come next. North American teenagers with transistor radios in hand, listening everywhere, setting the stage for an evolution in radio programming. The era of all-hit music, top 40 AM radio. It lasted for more than 30 years, until the better sound of FM stereo radio won the music game, but which by the 21st century started losing ground to online streaming of radio, and apps, and just plain music streams. And now, there are people who don't listen to radio at all. Yet radio is very much alive and vital and necessary in many other places in the world, and radio plays an important part in media literacy, which I maintain we are losing here in Canada. Radio's evolution then goes hand in hand with innovation. Innovation in technology for radio production and listening, and innovation in professional practice. Take gathering and reporting the news on radio, for example. That's been happening for close to 100 years now. By the 1930s, radio reporters were broadcasting live or recording live to disc for playback on air from the scenes of major events. J. Frank Willis brought live reporting to new public awareness from the scene of a mining disaster in Nova Scotia in 1936 over CHNS and the CRBC, the forerunner of the CBC. Just a year later, this sound of Herb Morrison recorded to be sent back to WLS Chicago for broadcast the next day taught radio news workers lessons that hold true today.
Oh, my, get out of the way, please. It's burning and bursting into flames and it's falling on the mooring fast and all the folks between that this is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world.
The majority of passengers survived. The Hindenburg teaches radio the dangers of hyperbole, of jumping to conclusions without facts, and of losing control of one's emotions while reporting, none of which lessens the urgency of getting breaking news on air, as in this case from 2014, when Cormac McSweeney, a Humber College alum who was in my news classes here, calls back to his Rogers radio station after a man with a gun kills one person near the Parliament buildings in Ottawa and then gets inside the main building before he is killed by guards. McSweeney is inside.
I'm in a security office right now. Apparently, somebody has walked up to the front steps of Parliament Hill with a single guy came in with a shotgun.
There were,
yes, yes, go put me on air right now.
Evolution and innovation. McSweeney has radio's operational imperative at work. Get me on the air. And the presence of mind to use his own technology to keep recording with handheld gear while making the call. I hear this on 680 News in Toronto. And then, on January 6th of 2021, a CBS radio network reporter is reporting live as an armed insurrection begins at the Capitol buildings in Washington.
We've heard the sort of boom and bang noises that often we have heard around protests here. That are indicative of perhaps a flashbang sort of sound grenade that police can put off to try to help control a crowd.
From microphones and wires to transmitters to portable tape recording machines to cassette tape to digital audio tape to digital recording in handheld smartphones that edit and transmit live or in files, innovation has driven delivery of news to beyond breaking to instantaneous, simultaneous, live in the moment. Of course, hearing, talking about, sharing the news, and other bits we hear on the radio is part of our community experience. Radio helps us stay connected. The third theme for World Radio Day could not be more timely. After living for a year under varying stages and states of emergency during the pandemic, radio workers continue to push the limits of technology and their own endurance to keep their listeners informed, comforted, connected, to give them that sense of dailiness, the feeling that life goes on and we'll get through this. Evolution, innovation, connection. Like thousands of radio hosts, Neil Headley and Samantha Houston of AM 740 Zoomer Radio in Toronto used the latest compact technology to go online from home to keep their radio morning show safely on the air.
I'm connected to the radio station, and Sam is connected to me. So that's how we're getting the show on the air. But there are a pile of differences that are, you know, us dealing with our various basement studios, because I'm sitting here in Newmarket in my basement and Sam is in a literal blanket fort in Thornhill.
Yes, in order to absorb the sound. And of course, we normally would work in a studio that's well padded for a bunch of reasons. Ah. And well, you know who I'm working with. And but I'm at home here. And so I've set up sort of these make-believe walls around me. And I've just draped a bunch of blankets over all of them and tucked pillows in front of those so that there's no echo or there's less echo.
Also in Toronto, in the depth of cold and bleakness of an early spring state of emergency, just after the World Health Organization declares this crisis is indeed a pandemic, historic CFRB Toronto drops a late-night syndicated show and puts a new host on the air to do the only thing that matters late at night. For the lonely, the shut-in, the frightened, the listener living a new reality. It provides comfort, companionship, someone to listen to and someone to listen.
And I wanted to start things off on this Monday evening going into Tuesday morning simply by asking you, and it's probably a weird question to ask on the radio, but hey, how was your weekend? It was probably a very different weekend than what you normally would do, because you weren't supposed to go out. You weren't supposed to do shopping, unless maybe you're doing food shopping, and do that all at once and make your list and don't go back for days. That's the goal, is not to leave your house. So how did you kill that time?
That's radio, keeping the listener connected. The sad truth is that historic radio station was hit with a vicious round of cutbacks and layoffs just days before I tell you all of this. But radio goes on, as does the pandemic. Evolution, innovation, connection. No matter what else. New world, new radio. If you know me through this show or from any of the great radio stations in my long career, you know I love radio. I believe in its power, its importance, its impact. I grieve its losses. I empathize with radio workers interrupted. I despise the disrespect. But I celebrate what radio can do and what it really can mean, and its undeniable role in education, science, culture, evolution, innovation, connection. World Radio Day is for the listener. By hearing this, you are participating. I've registered today's show with the UNESCO World Radio Day events list. This is Crosstalk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach podcasting and radio.